Good afternoon. It's nearly noon and time for the Kodiak afternoon news. Thank you for listening to KMXT on 100.1 FM. It's your public radio station. Currently 36 degrees. Looking for rain and snow for the rest of the day, becoming all rain afternoon. High near 40 today. Rain likely tonight before midnight, then just a chance of rain and snow after that. Coming up at noon, our weekly update from the Kodiak Emergency Services Director.
Welcome. Thank you for joining us again today, November 19th, 2020. My name is Mike Twenge, the Kodiak Area Emergency Services Director. With me today are members of the Emergency Services Council. We met again this morning to discuss the recent case numbers and transmission of COVID-19 in our community. Kodiak is experiencing uncontrolled community spread. The Department of Health and Social Services Commissioner Adam Crum certified that an outbreak of the COVID-19 virus is occurring throughout Alaska, as evidenced by the current significant and widespread community transmission of the virus, including significant positive testing rates and record daily numbers of new cases. You'll be surprised, Alaska has reported 2,883 new cases the past 5 days, and Kodiak has also seen the rapid rise in positive cases. The Kodiak Emergency Operations Center has announced 9 new community spread cases today. There are 51 cases currently classified as active. An active case is someone who has tested positive for COVID and is potentially contagious. Governor Dunleavy announced effective November 16th, Health Order Number 6 relating to international and interstate travel, and Order Number 8 affecting intrastate travel. I encourage you to read this if you intend to travel. The community mitigation plan available on the city and borough webpages under COVID-19 shows us bordering on the red risk level. We could easily go to red status now, but we want to give this community an opportunity to bring this back to yellow and eventually green status. Because of the recent rise in COVID-19 cases, the Emergency Services Council is now mandating, effective immediately, the wearing of masks or face coverings when in any public setting, such as the grocery store, any retail store, including restaurants and bars. You can wear the mask while you enter, place your order, and wait for your meal or drink. We realize eating and drinking will not be wearing a mask. Move your tables further apart. Eliminate tables and chairs. Use appointment shopping and curbside services to reduce the amount of patrons in a business. Total lockdowns are what we're trying to avoid. Do this now to reduce the spread and allow your business to remain open. I repeat, do this now to reduce the spread and allow your business to remain open. If this doesn't slow the rapid rise of positive cases, but leads us to more community spread or community transmissions, we will be forced to move into the full red status. Red status allows for only essential services and critical infrastructure to operate, including limited patron capacity. Locally, we can even tighten that up, meaning the Emergency Services Council will define an essential service. I asked you last Thursday to do your best as a community to slow this down, but it wasn't enough. And we are now seeing the unfortunate results of what non-mask wearing, disregard for social distancing, lack of quarantine, including expanding your new social bubbles, has caused. Right now, hospitals within the state are experiencing staffing challenges, and we surely don't want to add to this concern. The EOC has spoken with the three major food suppliers in town, and even though we have missed a few barge shipments, they are still able to remain stocked with supplies by other transportation means. So there's no need to overstock your pantries at this time. Going into the Thanksgiving holiday with many gatherings planned, it may be difficult to not invite your normal group of friends and families, but we must change it up this year. We're seeing clusters of outbreaks with this type of gatherings. Our contact tracing identifies this fact. Since the virus is so widespread now within our community, the risk is very high that several in the group will be exposed. Understand that this virus is even contagious before you become symptomatic. Another plea to you is to actually quarantine if you are a close contact or have recently traveled. Our recent statistics show an equal split between travel-related cases and community spread. So if you must travel, and I can't believe it, but again, if you must travel, stay home for 2 or 3 days upon return to see if you become ill. So get tested to verify those health results. Right now, there's no cost to you other than the time and the fuel to get to the testing sites. Results for the testing has now changed due to CDC guidelines. Asymptomatic testing is now taking up to 72 hours for the results to arrive. If you're in this category, you should plan accordingly and quarantine until you receive confirmation. Avoid calling in to receive your results. You will be contacted by your testing center, but please verify that when you make your appointment. If they're clinically ordered, your tests will result more quickly. You should also note there's no such thing as testing out of quarantine. Some people think they can take a test after a few days and show up negative and they're out of quarantine, but the 10 to 14 days still applies, even if you should test negative during this period. To schedule a COVID test, contact KCHC at 481-5000 or CANA at 486-9870. The Emergency Operations Center has received permission from Alaska Airlines to place airport greeters inside the terminal during arriving flights. The purpose of the greeters is to inform arriving passengers of local mandates, testing, and quarantine options. As I stated earlier, travel-related cases account for half of our current cases. You may be surprised how many people are still traveling during this pandemic. There are 606 passenger arrivals at the Benny Benson Airport between today and next Wednesday. Since morning flights are reduced, this includes only 9 flights. So if you must fly, don't be a close contact. And Governor Dunleavy has now granted local municipalities the authority to impose additional travel restrictions. The Emergency Services Council is researching options here. The concern is how do we continue to afford to continue testing without charging for them? I'm sure you all realize the expense involved to conduct a COVID-19 test. Right now, the state of Alaska has been supporting a portion of those costs by providing testing materials. I want to thank Kodiak Area Native Association, Kodiak Community Health Clinic, Providence Kodiak Island Medical Center, and Kodiak Island Ambulatory Care Clinic for supporting this important piece of the puzzle, identifying positive and negative cases within our community. Hygiene is one of the measures people have taken seriously. It's good to keep washing your hands and face. Remember to use lots of soap to create those bubbles. Wear your mask. It is now a requirement in Kodiak. If you must meet in person with persons outside your immediate bubble, limit the exposure time and ventilate the room by circulating the air. Even opening a window will help. I just cannot stand back and ignore what could seriously cripple our community. Likely now you know someone who is experiencing the wrath of this nasty virus. Your workplace is suffering the results of a positive case. Well, let's do something about this and get this virus back under control. Cannot let it spiral out of control and dictate our actions. We should know this by now. So mask up, stand back and wash those hands often. Reduce your public contacts for a while and do this so we can enjoy future holidays. Tomorrow, the EOC will release a draft outline the Kodiak mask mandate. Meanwhile, for questions, contact the Public Information Office at 486-8970 for any questions. And lastly, since next Thursday is Thanksgiving, we'll not have a community update, but we'll return again December 3rd at noon. So Kodiak, stay safe, and we'll see you then.
NPR News is brought to you in part by Providence Kodiak Island Counseling Center. For an appointment or more information, 481-2400.
The Alaska Housing Finance Corporation has awarded a $750,000 grant to the Brother Francis Shelter here in Kodiak, which will be used for facility upgrades and homelessness prevention efforts by the shelter. The Kodiak Shelter was one of several selected to split a total of $5 million statewide. Jennifer Smerud, a planner with the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation, or AHFC, says she was impressed by all of the applications.
It was a really competitive process. We had 13 really great applications come in. Everybody scored really high, great ideas from across the state.
Smerud says that funding programs like this are crucial right now.
And then we're also facing a unique experience where there's so many people who have never been on the brink of homelessness before or never experienced like the economic instability that they're experiencing right now. And so we've got a lot of people that are really nervous and needing that prevention funding. And so we're trying to get as much of that out into the communities as we can as well, so that we prevent people from going through the process of an eviction and all the trauma that surrounds that.
The grant comes from the Emergency Solutions Grants Program, established by Congress in 1987. The program specifically provides grants to aid homeless prevention efforts and emergency shelters. The Emergency Solution Grant got some extra funds to distribute this year after President Trump signed the CARES Act in March. The AHFC, a public corporation, is charged with the distributing of Emergency Solutions Grants funding in Alaska, except for Anchorage, which has its own allocation. For Monty Hover, Executive Director of the Brother Francis Shelter in Kodiak, the grant money comes at a great time of need.
They've been coming in as soon as the federal unemployment ran out. It wasn't long before people started coming in. And there's several things that are exacerbating this, and that is with a moratorium on evictions, which is great, people don't get evicted, but unfortunately that runs out in December. And so you're going to have an upswelling of evictions, at that point in time, or people that would be evicted, except we'll step in and help them from becoming evicted.
Hover also says the money will be used to upgrade the ventilation system, which is important during this pandemic.
I've never really been that happy with the ventilation in the shelter. And of course, with this COVID nightmare, we know more than we used to about it. And one of the things that we know is that proper ventilation is essential for minimizing the possibility of it. And our goal since March has been, we worked very, very hard to keep COVID from getting into the shelter.
New windows will also be part of the upgrade. Well, Kodiak has passed 200 cases as community spread numbers continue to rise. The 9 new cases reported for the Kodiak Island Borough, all of which are classified as community spread, brings the total case count to 201 since the start of the pandemic, with 51 cases currently classified as active. As lawmakers begin to figure out what the makeup of various legislative caucuses will look like, Josiah Osluck-Ruok Putkatuk is in a slightly different position than most other representative elects. With unofficial results coming in 2 weeks after the general election, Putkatuk emerged victorious in the race for House District 40, which includes the North Slope, Northwest Arctic Borough, and several interior Alaska villages. While Republicans hold a slim majority in the State House, Putkatuk, an independent, says he hasn't committed to joining a legislative caucus yet. However, he says there are several programs that he wants to ensure receive funding.
As I lump them together, as I've had to talk to people about these things over the last couple of days, I call them PPT and PCE, Petroleum Property Tax and Power Cost Equalization. Those are on the list of priorities. There are other things that I'm interested in looking out for, and I'm making sure that those are involved in my decision-making moving forward.
With many of the Republicans who have been elected to the legislature in favor of large cuts to funding for state services, Pawtucket says he's opposed to joining a caucus that would cut services like PPT and PCE.
Anybody that's going to look at attacking programs or services that are going to affect my district negatively, that's not something that I'm going to be in favor of, obviously.
Governor Mike Dunleavy proposed transferring oil property taxes from municipalities like the North Slope Borough to state government last year. He didn't repeat the proposal this year, and Dunleavy and some Republican lawmakers proposed eliminating the Power Cost Equalization Fund last year. It's not clear whether Dunleavy will propose a similar change in the budget he introduces in the coming December. For now, Pawtucket isn't committing to any legislative caucus. He says he hopes to take his role as an independent lawmaker seriously.
I have this deep belief that a lot of things that I learned going whaling can be applied throughout my life, and that's one of the things is you know when to strike the whale and you know when not to. And I think I'm just applying that same principle here. Like I said, I haven't committed to anybody. All options are on the table.
The Division of Elections expects to officially certify the results of the election next week, with lawmakers set to arrive in Juneau in January. Despite a disappointing salmon season and continuous ecosystem-wide change in the Bering Sea region, recent pink salmon runs across the region have been much larger than before. In what is considered a climate change success story, pink salmon in the Norton Sound region have been thriving after dropping to severely low numbers in the early 2000s. Ed Farley, program manager with the Ecosystem Monitoring and Assessment Program, presented decades of research that indicate that this is caused by warmer waters.
But the take-home here is that the freshwater to early marine conditions, especially freshwater, are likely driving production, and that warmer appears to be better.
Temperatures in the Bering Sea have been rising for a while, and according to research, the warmer temperatures show no signs of stopping. Sea temperatures have been steadily rising, even leading to periodic heat waves, according to NOAA. This year, sea temperatures were 3 degrees Celsius higher than typical, making 2020 the second lowest minimum sea ice event. With the decrease in sea ice and diminishing cold pool, pink salmon are one of the few cases where marine life has benefited from warming temperatures. Pink salmon go through a 2-year cycle. After spawning, they spend 1 year in freshwater environments until they are a smolt. Then they spend a year in the marine ecosystems until they have reached adult age. Farley says the warmer temperatures in the Bering Sea mean higher metabolism and higher growth rates for the salmon, meaning less predation during winter at sea.
Their metabolism is going to be based on temperatures from the sea. So with food and higher temperatures, we expect them to grow faster, and the faster they grow likely helps them reduce predation risk.
Although pink salmon are benefiting from the rise in water temperatures, other species of salmon are not showing the same increase in numbers as pinks. Farley says the more research needs to be done on species like coho salmon to see how both water temperatures and greater numbers of pink salmon may impact them. But for now, it seems like there is little correlation.
I know that we've looked at coho salmon diets, and there doesn't seem to be much overlap with the pink salmon diets. And so as far as, you know, what's happening after they leave that shelf area in the Northern Bering Sea, and if there's any competition after that, I'm not sure. I know that we're trying to look more into coho right now.
The Pink Salmon Juvenile Index will help researchers determine expected numbers for runs next year. Farley says that the Alaska Fisheries Center is performing more research in the near future to determine how these warmer temperatures may impact the runs of other species of salmon. Community spread of COVID-19 in Nome is increasing. And now there are 3 COVID-19 patients hospitalized at the Norton Sound Regional Hospital. In addition to daily case count updates, the Norton Sound Health Corporation is releasing a weekly online dashboard charting COVID-19 hospitalizations and communities that have active cases. By the airing of this story, NSHC had not returned KONM's calls for comment on the condition of the 3 hospitalized COVID patients. As of today, there are 22 active cases in that region, with 16 of those patients being in Nome. Over 90% of the current reported COVID-19 cases belong to local residents. Their dashboard also reflects trends in the timeline of testing. In the last week, most of the individuals who tested positive for the novel coronavirus tested positive for the disease on their second test, approximately 4 to 15 days after their first test came in negative.
This is Alaska Fish Radio. I'm Lainey Welch. Frozen sockeye salmon strips for teething babies. More on Bambino's latest after this.
An AMSI-trained fisherman is more likely to survive an emergency at sea. Learn more at AMSI.org.
Frozen sockeye salmon strips bring tasty nutrition and relief to teething babies. It's the latest offering by Bambino's Baby Food made in Anchorage. Zoe Marudis is the creator and producer of the new salmon strips.
The coldness feels great on their little gums. Also, we have no preservatives in any of our meals. And also, we want to lock in the nutrition to keep those omega-rich calculations just as happy as they were before.
Marudis says the salmon strips also honor indigenous Alaska traditions.
And I wanted to share that with the world in the sense of, one, honoring our indigenous families and traditions, also sharing how natural nutrient-rich omega strips can be for a little one to enjoy. Instead of a cookie or a cracker, enjoy a salmon strip.
The teething strips are the third Bambino's product aimed at getting more seafood into the mouths of babes. Hallie Halibut and sockeye salmon bisque feature frozen star-shaped portions perfect for baby-sized hands for teething or meals. The government has issued new diet guidelines saying fish should be included in babies' diets starting at 6 months old, yet no such baby foods are produced by American manufacturers. Marudis has been featured on the Today Show and honored by Martha Stewart and President Trump. Her Bambino's line won the American Choice Award for Best Organic Brand and Alaska's Top Manufacturer. The bags of frozen servings also are available at Alaska Airline terminals, Safeway stores, Amazon, and are shipped to all 50 states. A Bambino store is located in Spinard. Above all, Marudis says feeding more children with the purest and healthiest Alaska ingredients is the biggest reward.
And working together with our farmers and our fishermen is the most humbling, most rewarding.
Find links to Bambino's at AlaskaFishRadio.com. Fish Radio is also brought to you by OBI Seafoods. In Kodiak, I'm Lainey Welch.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Good afternoon, and welcome to your Island Messenger for Thursday. It is the 19th day of November, the year 2020. The sun rose today at 9:04 a.m. It will set again at 4:47 p.m., giving us 7 hours and 39 minutes of daylight, a loss of merely 3 minutes and 51 seconds compared to yesterday. Looking at our district tides, here on the east side, we have a high tide coming up at 4:19 p.m. That'll be a 9.5-foot tide. The next low tide will be at 11:16 p.m., a slight minus tide, minus 0.4 feet, followed by a high tide at 6:05 in the morning here on the east side of 7.1 feet, and your low tide for later in the morning on the east side, 11:09 a.m., 3.7 feet. Over on the west side, and these are Uganic Pass tides, you have a high tide coming up at 4:50 p.m. That will be a 15.3 foot tide, followed by a low tide at 11:38 p.m. of minus 0.3 feet, followed by a high tide at 6:15 tomorrow morning of 13.6 feet, and later on in the morning on the west side at 11:58 a.m., you'll have a low tide of 4.7 feet. 36 degrees here in Kodiak. We're looking for more rain and snow turning to rain showers after 1 p.m. and then plain old rain after 4 p.m. High near 40 degrees today. Southeast wind is expected to go to 20 miles per hour. Your chance of precipitation 90%, but little or no snow accumulation is expected. For tonight, rain before 1 a.m., then a chance of rain and snow after that. Low around 36 overnight tonight. East wind to 20 miles per hour should decrease to 10 miles per hour after midnight. For Friday, rain and snow likely before 4 p.m., then just plain rain. The rain could be heavy at times tomorrow. High near 43. East wind to 25 miles per hour will increase to 40 miles per hour tomorrow. Winds could gust as high as 55 miles per hour here in beautiful Kodiak tomorrow. Your chance of precipitation during that windy, blustery day, 90%. So, rain on Friday night. The rain could be heavy at times, low around 37. East wind to 35 miles per hour. Winds could gust as high as 60 miles per hour overnight on Friday night. Mariners, here is your synopsis for the North Gulf Coast, including Kodiak Island waters and Cook Inlet. An elongated 1,003 millibar low, 305 nautical miles southeast of Kodiak, will move on Thursday afternoon to 80 nautical miles south of Ketchikan by Friday morning and then continue inland and dissipate. A strong front will approach the southwestern Gulf Thursday evening, then track to the northern Gulf Friday night. Our resulting weather, not so good. Gale warning for Friday for Marmot Island to Sitkanak, Chuniak, Kodiak's east side offshore. Southeast wind to 20 knots right now, will increase to 25 knots this afternoon, seas to 8 feet. For tonight, southeast winds to 20 knots will increase to 25 knots, seas to 9 feet. And on Friday, southeast winds increasing to 50 knots tomorrow. Seas 14 feet should build to 20 knots for 20 feet tomorrow afternoon. And for Friday night, southwest winds 35 knots, seas to 19 feet, east side offshore. Over in the Shelikof, gale warning on Friday, east wind 20 knots becoming west 20 knots across the south end of the strait. Tonight, variable 15, seas to 4 feet, but for Friday, east wind to 25 knots will increase to 45 knots tomorrow afternoon. Seas building to 12 feet tomorrow afternoon. And for Friday night, east winds to 40 knots in the Shelikof, seas to 12 feet. For Saturday, southwest winds 25 knots, seas to 8 feet. Inside waters, Chuniak and Marmot Bays. For Chuniak Bay, gale warning on Friday. For today, southeast wind increasing to 20 knots during the morning. Seas will build to 6 feet today. For Friday, southeast winds will increase to 35 knots. Seas 6 feet, building to 14 feet in Chuniak Bay on Friday. Friday night, southeast winds to 30 knots, seas to 10 feet. In Marmot Bay, gale warning on Friday. Southeast wind to 20 knots, seas to 7 feet today. For tomorrow, look for southeast wind to 30 knots, becoming east 40 knots tomorrow in Marmot Bay. Seas should build to 18 feet tomorrow. And for Friday night, southeast wind to 35 knots, seas to 12 feet in Marmot Bay. So that's some weather. And the Kodiak Public Library is having their library trivia game tonight, 6 p.m. The Zoom link is on the library's website and Facebook page. So if you need to have a fun time tonight, that starts at 6 p.m., check out the library's website and Facebook page for the Zoom link. Every Thursday at 10:30 a.m., Ms. Ani reads stories for the virtual Children's Storytime on the library's Facebook page and YouTube channel. And just a couple of reminders, the library offers home delivery to those unable to get out of the house and curbside pickup at the side door. Call the library for this service, available Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. The Kodiak Public Library is also open in person by appointment Monday through Saturday at 11 a.m., 1 p.m., 3 p.m., and 5 p.m. for 90-minute visits. You must wear a mask and follow social distancing guidelines. For information about any of this, call the library at 486-8686. Attention local artists and businesses, the Kodiak Hospital Auxiliary is seeking donations for their upcoming auction. Funds raised from the auction will be used for the auxiliary's scholarship fund, helping students in the healthcare fields achieve their educational goals. Donations will be accepted through December 5th. If you have something you can donate to the auction, please contact either Becca at 942-1680 or Yvonne at 654-9899 or you can email them at kodiakhospitalauxiliary@gmail.com. And just a reminder, the Pillar Mountain Road is closed for the winter. All non-motorized activities are still welcome.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT 2 times a day, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. and during the midday report at 12:20. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.